You know, there's something about a fly rod. They have such a wonderful balance to them. And they make this wonderful whipping sound. Hear that? You know, my granddad and my dad taught me how to fly fish. I was never really good at it, but I could, with the proper wrist action, not arm, it's wrist action. I heard that about 75 dozen times. It's wrist action, with wrist action, and then controlling the motion of the fly across the surface, I could actually fish. I could catch brim and bluegill and goggle eye with the fly rod. The purpose of catching brim and bluegill and goggle eye is not to eat them. They're itty bitty. They're not huma huma nuku nuku wapa ah, those Hawaiian itsy bitsy little fishies with the very long name. No, they're bigger, but they go on a trot line that you stretch across the river so that great big lumbering catfish come along. And you can catch them and fry them up and eat them. All the more important to get that fly over on that corner over there and pop it along the surface and catch that goggle eye and hooking. Unfortunately, I didn't have very good control. I didn't have much patience. I didn't pay attention to what was going on. Ooh. And so I'd get frustrated and I'd pull too soon and miss the fish, or I'd pull too hard and not just hook the fish, but sling him all the way over to the other shore. Or I'd be fishing one side and I'd fling back so hard the fly would not go in the air but land in the water behind me. And my granddad would yell at me, "You're fishing the wrong bank." And then while it would be back there in the water, I'd cast forward again, and there'd be a fish on the fly, having caught it over there. Or I'd pull it so hard, the fish would come flying out of the water and smack my dad or my granddad in the face back in the back paddling. Talk about having your ears burned off. Don't do that. My dad was amazing. He could get that fly right up by the bank, pop it along the surface, and then bang, he'd catch it. I'd toss it out there. I'd hit brush, tree limb above, log on the edge, and get hung up. Oh, no. "Stop shaking the boat, Greg." Oh, or in the tree above. "Oh no, I'm gonna lose your fly, Dad. I'll have to make more." But Dad, he was a master. Even when he underwent the treatment for his kidney failure, even after dialysis, after a day, he'd be out there fishing. Fishing. It's amazing. In the first century, they didn't fish with fly rods. They fished with a net. Not a great big net, but a round net that had weights on it. And they would toss it out into the Sea of Galilee, and it would spread out, and then it would sink. And the fisherperson would hold on to the line as the net would go down, and then he would know when to pull it to bring the fish up in the net. And he would bring it aboard and dump it out into the boat, and they'd flop around like crazy. Those of you who went on the trip to Israel know that's actually the Peter fish is kind of a tilapia. And it's quite tasty, even if it has the head attached and all that icky stuff. I prefer it all nice and cleaned and sanitized. Anyway, nothing like fried fish caught however you want to catch it. Fishing requires a lot of patience. Patience, because the first time, you're probably not going to catch anything. The second time, you're probably not going to catch anything. I mean, I may say, I want to catch a Peter fish right now. There's Pete sitting right out there. I may want to try to catch him, but as many times as I put it over there, he probably isn't going to bite. Or I might try to catch a Freddy fish. Now, he might bite. I don't know.
Yeah, he tried. It takes patience because they don't bite quickly. It takes attention to detail, paying attention to what's going on around you, the flow of the water, what's over there by the bank, what's above you in the trees, what's behind you in the trees. It takes paying attention to where you are and what you're doing. It takes tenacity. Don't give up. It's the flip side of patience. If you don't have much patience, you're not going to have any tenacity. You have to have stick-to-itiveness. You've got to keep at it. Just once, just twice, three times, 50 times, maybe. It takes insight. My dad had amazing insight with fish. He could look at a river and tell you where the fish are by how it looked. We'd be driving by a river, and he'd look out, and he says, no fish there. We'd drive by another river, cross over it at one point, and he'd said, stop here, there's fish. And we'd stop, and he'd get his rod, and he'd go out, and he'd fish for a minute or two, and he'd come up with something to eat. Takes energy. We'll go out and fish with my dad, and by the time we were finished with an afternoon, I thought my arm was going to fall off. It takes energy, strength to fish. It takes nerve because you can look pretty silly standing there in a canoe wobbling back and forth trying to get that line untangled above and your dad sitting in the back laughing at you or trying to give you pointers or hints. It takes cunning to outwit that little fish. I mean, here I am, I got a brain, I'm a human being, I got a doctorate degree, you think I could outwit a fish? Ha! Move it along and get it just right, and he gets away. And it takes enthusiasm. You got to love it. You got to love it so much that you want to do it and keep doing it and keep doing it. You have to have enthusiasm for it. Fishing takes patience and attention, tenacity, insight, energy, nerve, cunning, and enthusiasm, which of course all spells patience. And more patience. Likewise, fishing for people, either with a net or with a rod, fishing for people takes patience. Because sometimes you can do it, sometimes you can proclaim the gospel, sometimes you can speak the good news again and again and again, and they don't hear. It takes patience, it takes attention to detail. Being aware of what's going on around you, being aware of what the needs of the community are, being aware of what the needs of the congregation is, being aware of what the needs of those who are right out there, who I see walking by Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, wondering about them, going by that window again and again and again. Where are they? Why are they not in church? What is their name? It takes paying attention to what's going on around you. It takes tenacity, not willing to give up. Well, we've tried it, We're just not going to try it anymore, are we? We tried that before and it didn't work. I'm sorry, try it again. It takes insight to understanding the needs, to understanding the faith and the pitfalls and problems that people have coming to faith. It takes energy because, my friends, ministry of any kind is exhausting. Proclaiming the gospel is exhausting work. It takes nerve, looking silly, standing in front of people, speaking about your faith. It takes nerve to stand up in front of opposition, to stand up as this church has again and again and again on the forefront of social justice issues and proclaiming the gospel to the last and the least and the lost and confronting racism and sexism and bigotries of all kind. It takes nerve to stand up for peace and grace and justice. It takes cunning, intellect, analysis, and it takes enthusiasm. A desire to continue going, even when patience wears thin, even when nerve runs out, even when energy is depleted, even when insight seems dulled, even when cunning seems dead. even when tenacity seems to run away. You have to have the enthusiasm anyway. Fishing. It's rewarding when you catch. It's annoying when you don't. But when you bring them in, you have a true experience of the grace of God providing you, nourishing you, enthralling you. Likewise in ministry, you can work at it and you work at it and you work at it. And it doesn't seem as though it goes anywhere. And then sometimes you hear the good news. This past week we had a roller coaster trip with Mary Wilson and Hank. Hank had received a place to stay early in the week, and then they reneged on the deal. And Mary was just absolutely troubled, angry, upset, understandably so. And on Friday, we found another place for Hank to go to next Wednesday. It's those mundane and yet necessary. It's those nitty-gritty and yet necessary. It's those things that call you to tenacious continuing. I'm not going to quit. We're going to keep working. We're going to find a place for Hank. We are going to do this. Trying to be enthusiastic, trying to build her up, trying to support her. It's exhausting. But in the end, God's grace came through. We found a place for Hank to stay. One that will not be pulled out from underneath him. And ministry's like that. Ups and downs, pitfalls, disasters, and joyful times too. The ministry is like that for all Christians. For all Christians are called to become fishers of people, proclaiming the good news to all, offering all a place to come and stay. I had a friend who once challenged me on this image that Jesus used about being fishers of people, because he says, when we catch a fish, what do we do with it? We clean it and eat it. That's not what God wants us to do, is it? No. God calls us instead to fish, to gather in God's people, to gather them in so that we may live together in grace and peace and proclaim the good news to all we meet. We fish are called to fish for others. And it can be hard, and it must take patience, and it must require attention to detail, and it demands tenacity and insight and energy, nerve, cunning, and enthusiasm. My brothers and sisters, it's what we're called to do, to fish for people, to gather in all, to build the kingdom of God on earth. Give thanks and praise to God that just as Jesus said to Peter, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of people, so also God speaks to you, to me, to us all, saying, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.